said, I've got to work while it is day, because night cometh, no man will be able to work. If we're going to work, we've got to work now.
Bless him, Lord.
We are the light of this world, Jesus said. While he was here, he was the light. Yes. Now he's put that light in us by the person of the Holy Ghost. And we've got to let this world know that Jesus is alive and he's living among his people. Hallelujah. Well, I'm thrilled to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I'm glad I know him. I'm glad that I feel him. I'm glad I know it's real. Hallelujah. I know it's real. I know it's real. I know it's real. Because I can feel him in my heart. Well, tonight I'm going to preach a little simple message to us, if the Lord will help me. Hopefully I can answer a few questions that might be in the minds of some people. And I'm going to preach a message that I know it's from God. And I know it's the message of the hour. And if I can give it to you the way God has laid it upon my heart, we'll enjoy it. But I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight. If you probably won't be able to stay up with me as we go through some of the scriptures tonight. But if you got a pen, if you ain't got a pen, maybe you can borrow one from your neighbor and write down the passage of the scripture that I might give you here in just a little while, and go home and study them for yourself. And you know, it's one thing to hear me preach to you and give you something, but it's quite another to take that home with you and look at the scriptures and see it for yourself, and let the Word of God get down inside of you. So if you have a Bible tonight, go with me first of all to Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. Then we'll be going back to Luke chapter 3. But we're going to read first of all in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Very familiar passage of scripture. And I'm going to preach tonight something that I know you've heard. And if the Lord tarries, you'll hear me preach it more and more and more as the time goes on. Because I believe it's a very needful message. Acts chapter 1, when you find it, stand with me if you're able. Acts of the Holy Ghost. Acts of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up from them, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Luke 3, verse 16 tonight. Luke 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I will use tonight preaching a few minutes on this thought, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to be in God's house. Father, I'm asking you, God, to anoint me with fresh oil. God, I need you tonight, God, to help us to deliver the Word of God in a way that they're going to be able to understand it. Anoint their ears, anoint their spirit, that the Word of God can come in and take residence in their heart and live in their life and bring forth an abundant fruit in their heart. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name, help me to handle the Word of God very, very carefully, Lord, tonight. I don't want to handle it deceitfully. I want to handle it carefully.
Right.
And God, help me tonight not to abuse the Word of God. Help me just to speak only what you want me to speak. Nothing more, nothing less. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now God's message to this world, you'll find that in John 3:16. For the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to know tonight, it is the will of God to save every person on this planet. Not everyone will be saved, but it is the desire of God to save every person on this planet. And it is the will of God. God wants to save everybody, but everybody will not be saved. That is the will of God, and that is the message of God to the world, that He wants to save them. But the message to the church is found in Luke 3:16, which records, we read tonight in our text, I, John, said, indeed, baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who is mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I want you to settle it down in your hearts tonight that God wants to fill every born-again believer with the mighty Holy Ghost of God. You've got to understand that tonight. God wants to fill us with this mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. You've got to have it. If you and I are going to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish here in 2011 until the end of time, we've got to have the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost of God. If you're going to grow and mature in the things of God, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is no alternative. There's nothing else that's going to help us and give us the ability to reach this world like the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. But today we live in a time and an hour that technology is on the increase. We've got to the place today in the modern church that we have replaced the Holy Ghost. We have taken other things over Him. I thank God for the technology that we have, Brother Lowell. I thank God for the piano. I thank God for the PA system. I thank God for all the little gadgets we have. But can I tell you, if we didn't have those, we could do just fine, because those things doesn't make the church a church. What makes a church is the mighty moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
But today we've come to the place that we think we don't need the Holy Ghost like we once did. We don't depend on the Holy Ghost like we once did. No. There was a time in the Pentecostal church that we lived, breathed the Holy Spirit. Everything we did was circled around Him. We understood it was in Him. We lived and we moved and we had our being. But today we've come to the place, it's as if we don't need Him anymore. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we cannot We've got to have the Holy Ghost. We've got to have Him in our lives and in our hearts. We need Him tonight moving in and through our hearts and lives. We are not going to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished if the church doesn't get full of the Holy Ghost again. There's something about the Holy Ghost when He's moving in the church. People are excited. People are getting saved and born again in our altars when the Holy Ghost is moving and flowing down our aisles. I'm going to tell you, there's something magnificent about that. People come and all of a sudden they are stricken with conviction when the Holy Ghost is in the house. I remember the day that Holy Ghost conviction stricken my heart. It was like an arrow that stuck fast in me. You know, I read in the book of Psalms, David said, Lord, thine arrows stick fast in me. You know what those arrows are? That's the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I walked into the church and the arrows of the Lord began to fly, and they flew right into my heart because the Holy Ghost was in that house. And church, let me tell you today, we've got people coming to our churches. They're bound by drugs, bound by sin. They're living ungodly lifestyles, but they never have one arrow of conviction flying into their heart because the Holy Ghost is not in that church.
Amen.
We've got talented singers nowadays, but we have very few anointed singers these days. We've got great preachers today, but we don't have anointed preachers today. And I've got news for you. There's nothing in this world that can take the place of the anointing preaching of the Word of God. We need preachers today who don't just preach good, but they have an anointing on their heart and on their life. When they come behind the pulpit, you know they've heard from God. God has spoken to that preacher, and when he opens his mouth, there's an arrow going out of him, out of his mouth, that sharp two-edged sword that goes into the heart, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of what he's saying, and he grabs our heart, grabs us by the neck, and sticks us with that Word of God, and we fall under conviction. Oh God, in this end time hour, help us to get back to the place that we depend exclusively on the Holy Ghost of the living God.
Amen. Help us to get
back. You've got to understand that God wants every individual to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let me say this. This may offend folk, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It is as important for an unbeliever that's unsaved to be saved. Let me say it this way. Let me reword it this way. How can I word what I'm going to say? A person that isn't saved needs to be born again.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Nobody would doubt that. That an unsaved person needs to be born again.
Yeah.
And so, a person that is saved by the blood of Jesus, that person must be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, what are you saying, preacher? Are you saying they can't go to heaven if they're not filled with the Spirit? No, sir. What gets us to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. We get saved, we get covered in the blood. That is our ticket to heaven. And if that's all you want is to get to heaven, fine. Get saved, get covered in the blood. But if you want to do more on this world, on this earth, than just go to church, then I say get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He'll put a fire down in your heart. He said, I will baptize you, Brother Lowell, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's just something about the fire of God that motivates you. Hallelujah. I've never touched something hot in my life that didn't get me motivated. I touch a hot stove, it motivates my hand to move off of it. If I touch something hot or sit on something hot, but I jump up quick. I back up to a hot stove, I'm out of the way quick. Why? Because my leg gets to burning. Well, honey, get the Holy Ghost fire burning in your heart. You're going to burn up the roads for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you shout about that tonight?
Amen.
Woo! The problem with the church today is that we're not getting full of the Holy Ghost, so therefore we have no motivation to do anything for the kingdom of God. Some years ago, there was this Baptist minister called this preacher. And he said, brother, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I preach week after week, nothing. He said, I'm just at the end of my ropes. I don't know what to do. He said, I've lost my desire. I go to church week after week and preach, but nothing happens. And the preacher that was on the phone list said, I know what you need, brother. He said, what is that? He said, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, okay. He said, can I meet with you? And the preacher told him, come next Saturday, I'll meet with you. So next Saturday rolled around at 8 o'clock. This particular preacher was waiting for him at the church. And 10 after 8 came, nobody showed up. 8:15, nobody there. But 8:20, the doors flew open. And this guy began to walk down the aisle there. He didn't really know who he was because he'd never seen him before. But this guy had a smile on his face. He had a joy about him. He had a glow about him.
And the preacher already knew that he done been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the guy said, brother, he said, brother preacher so-and-so, I won't mention his name to you. He said, I couldn't wait on you. He said, I couldn't wait till Saturday to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to have it. He said, let me tell you how it happened. He said, last night, me and my wife come to the place that we were tired of just going to church and church being nothing and meaning nothing. He said, we decided we're going to pray all night. He said, we didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Didn't know what we had if we got it. We didn't know nothing about it. These people were Baptists. Didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. But they decided they were going to pray all night. They said they began to pray about midnight. And they said they prayed all for about an hour. They said they were getting sleepy. They lost things to pray about. They prayed about every missionary they knew about 5 or 10 times over. And they prayed for an hour. And they got up, walked around, prayed for a while longer. They was getting sleepy. And they get tired, and they would doze off, and the wife would say, honey, wake up. And then she would doze off, and he would say, honey, wake up. This went on till about 3 o'clock, and they were so dead tired, they had prayed to no avail. Never felt a new dad, never felt a Holy Ghost bump. They didn't know what they were even seeking for, but they knew they had to have something. And about 3 o'clock, the wife said, I'm going in there to make a pot of coffee. Maybe this will help us stay up a while. And she went in there to make that pot of coffee, and all of a sudden, the husband said, I heard her squall out like a mad cat. And he ran in there, coffee all over the top of the ceiling. And she touched him. He began to speak in tongues. She was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, church, it was all a matter of change. And I want to tell you, folks, tonight, what we need today is a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. We need God to put a fire down in our hearts again. I want to tell you, every Baptist, every Methodist, every Catholic, every Pentecostal needs the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And they said, brother, we're sorry we couldn't wait on you. Oh, he had a joy. But then he told the preacher, he said that this morning we called our daddy-in-law. I called my daddy-in-law and told him. He said, Dad, so I want you to know we got the Holy Ghost. And he was a good, hardcore Baptist. And the daddy said, the tongue-talking kind? He said, don't sign nothing. Don't sign nothing. I'm getting a plane. I'll get a ticket. I'll be there as fast as I can get there. And so he called and said, brother, my dad-in-law wants to come and meet you and talk with you. Can I bring him? He said, sure. I'll be here next Saturday. Bring him. So a week later, they came in, and that daddy was hot. I mean, his daughter's now filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. Son-in-law baptized in the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. And here they come down the aisle. He had a bunch of old, dead, dry, dusty books. He said, oh, no, he was ready to go to war, that Baptist was. And the preacher said, God, what do I do with him? And God spoke to him and said, just love him. Said he got up there. When he got up to there, you want to let him have it? He said he jumped up and just grabbed him around and began to love on him. He said, scared that man spitless. I said, scared and spitless. He said, now them Pentecostals have got all over me. I don't know what's going to happen to me now. He's scared to death. All of a sudden, that man began to cry and weep. His jaw began to jitter. He would have been filled with the Holy Ghost if he'd just let go and let God that morning. And he sat down and just began to weep like a baby. He said, I don't know. I've been taught all that all my life, that this Holy Ghost stuff wasn't real. He said, can you show me in the Bible that it's real? He said, sure. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19. Not the book of Acts. I hate the book of Acts, he said. Is there any place else? He said, sure. He said, is there any place in the Old Testament? He said, sure. In Isaiah chapter number 28. With stammering lips and another tongue shall I speak unto my people. And that Baptist man bowed his head and said, no, it's not in the Old Testament too. Oh. And that Baptist said this. He said, I can tell you this, preacher. He said, I went and listened to my son-in-law preach, Wednesday night before we came here Saturday. I've heard this man preach a lot of times, and that preacher, he was as dead and dry as an old powder keg. But Wednesday night when he got up to preach, there was something different about him. There was a life, there was a power there that he never had known before. Oh, church, let me tell you, if you're tired of being dry, if you're tired of being stale, if you're tired of being nothing, why don't you come to the altar of God Almighty and pray through to a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost? I want to tell you what our worship leaders need. They need the Holy Ghost. What our Sunday school teachers need is the Holy Ghost. What our drummers need is the Holy Ghost. What our guitar players need is the Holy Ghost. And what our preachers need is the Holy Ghost of God Almighty. Oh God, fill your church once again with fresh oil from above.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shut up.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Luke chapter number 11, verses 10 through 13 says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. If a son ask for bread, will his father give him a stone? Or if a son ask for an egg, will his father give him a scorpion?
No.
If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?"
That's right.
Praise God.
That's what Jesus said. You know, our love compared to His love is evil. I love my kids, but my love compared to His love is evil. And He said, if I know how to give good gifts unto my babies, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He said, he that asketh shall receive. He that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Oh, church, let me tell you, it's time to ask. It's time to knock. It's time to bombard heaven for a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. We need God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need souls saved and believers filled again in our churches.
Help us, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I have a couple little points tonight that I want to preach to you about very quickly. Number one, power. We need the Holy Ghost for power to do the works of Christ on the earth. Now, may I ask you a question? Why was the Holy Ghost given? Why was the Holy Ghost given? Was He given just to make a shout? Was He given just to make us dance about? Was He given just to make us fall on the floor? Oh yes, the Holy Ghost can make you shout. He can make you dance. He can make you laugh. He can make you fall on this floor. But the main purpose the Holy Ghost was given was to give us power. The Bible said, Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the world." Oh, church, power for what? Why do we need this power from God? Let me tell you why. We are living in an evil age today. Wickedness is everywhere. The powers of hell have set itself against you and I. And the only way we can combat the powers of hell is that we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand today? There's a pull out there trying to pull us to a world. Every day of your life you get out of bed, there's a drag there wanting to drag you back into sin, drag you into wickedness, and drag you into this world of hell. And the only thing we have to help us say no to the world is a mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's going to take a power to say no to the world. When the world comes knocking on your door telling you to come here or go there, it's going to take a power from God to say, "No, that's for me and my house. I will serve the Lord."
Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But there's so many Christians today, because they're not walking in power of the Holy Ghost, they give in to every temptation that comes knocking under your head. I can guarantee you, a person baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost daily, won't be so easy for hell to knock out of the way.
That's right.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, listen, is the greatest power on this planet. When one gets filled with the Holy Ghost, It's like that man's got a built-in power plant on the inside of his life. Woo! Glory to God. I want to tell you tonight, you see this $2 switch here? We turn that off, lights go off, but the power's not in this switch. You trace those wires down somewhere, it fall it all the way, ends up down there at Carroll Electric Company somewhere where that big power plant is. That's where the power come from. And do you understand inside of you and I is a big power plant called the Holy Ghost of God. There's enough power inside of every one of us to push the powers of hell back. The greatest restraining force on this planet is not the government, it's not, amen, the newscast, the greatest restraining power on this earth is the Holy Ghost that lives in the side of the believer.
Yes, amen to God.
He will threaten until he be taken out of the way. What is he talking about? The restraining power of the Spirit working through the church. I have a built-in power plant, Brother Lewell. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't have to have a sad day, a blue Monday, or a sad Tuesday, or a down Wednesday, or a ripped up Thursday, or a shattered Friday. Hallelujah! Or a shattered Saturday. Glory to God. Why? Because I've got a power plant on the inside that gives me power every day of my life. It gives me power to walk with God. It gives me power to overcome sin and temptation. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
You see, that early church, in a few short years, evangelized the whole known world. Rome wasn't able to stop them. Hell couldn't stop them. Satan couldn't halt them. Why? Nobody on the face of the earth could stop that early church because they were empowered by the Holy Ghost. All the might of Rome couldn't do nothing to stop that church. Hallelujah. Oh, hell tried. Rome tried. Every power and demon power out there tried to kill and smother that little early church, but it was unable to do it. Why? Because she was filled and empowered by the Spirit. That same push is out there today trying to smother us and destroy us, but as long as you and I feel, there's not a power can stop us. There's not a demon can stop us. As long as we stay filled with the Spirit of God. You see, I'm going to make a statement to you. Those who are doing more for Jesus in this world are those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. Those who are doing more for Jesus on this world than anybody else is those baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
See, if you're tired of doing nothing, being nothing in the kingdom of God, I'd say to you, get full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word, but filled with the Spirit, if you look it up in the original Greek, it reads this way, but be continually filled with the Spirit. You see, that's every day. Every day, you would agree with me, we ought to pray. Every day, you would agree, we ought to read the Bible. Every church time, you ought to agree with me, we ought to go to church. And I would say to you, as important it is to pray, as important it is to read the Bible, I believe it, we ought to be baptized with the Spirit every day of our life. We ought to pray until we pray through and talk in tongues every day of our life.
Praise God.
Now, let me say this before I move on. There are just some people say that the Holy Ghost is of the devil. There's some denomination teach there to stay away from the Holy Ghost bunch. That's of the devil. And I want to say this. I want you to listen to me. All I can say is this. If the Holy Ghost is of the devil, Brother Lewell, it's the only tool that the devil has that will make you love Jesus more. Well, somebody ought to shout. I can tell you the Holy Ghost will make you love Jesus more. The Holy Ghost will make you pray more. The Holy Ghost will make you love more. The Holy Ghost will make you read more. The Holy Ghost will make you go to church more. And the Holy Ghost will make you shout more. Hallelujah! If the Holy Ghost is of the devil, it's the only tool he has that makes you love Jesus more. And if you want to love Jesus more and you're loving him tonight, get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, point number two. Now this is where the problem lies. What is the initial physical evidence
that one has been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is the initial physical evidence falling in the floor? Is it shouting? Is it running around this church shouting, dancing? What is the initial physical evidence? What does the Bible say? Let's just go through these real fast tonight. If you got a Bible, if you want to take a note, you ought to write these down. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says this. Says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now here we have 120 disciples in an upper room waiting for what? Waiting for the promise of the Father. They didn't know what they were going to get. Nowhere really did Jesus say that you were going to speak in tongues. How did they know they were going to? How are they going to know they received Him when He came? The Bible said when He came, they began to speak with other tongues. That's how they knew that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to Acts chapter number 10. Verses 1 through 5. I want you to write these down and go home and read this. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian band. Here we have a Gentile. He was an Italian man. A devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him saying, Cornelius. When he looked and saw him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said, Thy prayers and thy alms have come up before God. And now send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. For he lodgeth in one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he'll tell thee what thou art to do. Now verse 44, you can skip on down and read it. You'll find that Peter saw a vision, and that vision God made him to know that Gentiles were going to be grafted into this vine. And he said, and the Bible said when he got done that the Lord spoke to him, the Spirit said, there's going to be three men come knocking on your door. Don't be afraid to go with them. The Bible said as soon as the vision lifted, he said three men began to knock on his door and call for him. He went downstairs just like God said it would be, and Peter went with him. And the Bible said in verse 44 that Peter went into the house of Cornelius. They were all gathered together like we are here tonight. And Peter began to preach the word of God. He began to say unto them, Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all, but unto the witnesses God has chosen, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And when he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained by God to be judge of the quick and the dead. And to him gave all the prophets witnesses that through his name that whosoever believeth in him should be saved. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word of God. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles he poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for he heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. Here we see God pouring out the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. Folks, I ought to tell you, I ought to make you shout, because you and I are Gentiles. And God gave us the same Holy Ghost that he gave the apostles in the upper room.
Amen.
And the Bible said in chapter 11 of Acts, you can read it later on, Peter went back home to the headquarters to Jerusalem and said, Fellas, you ain't going to believe what happened. I had a vision, saw what I saw. God told me to go to the Gentile house, Cornelius. Went there and began to preach, and the Holy Ghost came on them as on us at the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Then you can go to Acts chapter number 19. Verses 1 through 7, you'll find there's been a great move of God come to that particular part of the area through Apollo and Aquila. And the Bible said Paul came by, and the first thing Paul said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said, We didn't even believe if there'd been a Holy Ghost or not. And they said, Paul said, Then what was you baptized unto? The baptism of John. And Paul laid his hands on them. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost came and they began to speak with other tongues. You see, Paul thought it was important. For the first thing he said, Have you received the Holy Ghost? And I want to say to you tonight, Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you spoke in tongues today. Then you go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, 5 through 18. I saved that one for last because in Acts chapter 8, there'd been a great move of God come to the people of Samaria through the evangelist called Philip. And the Bible said that when the people, when Peter and all the apostles back in Jerusalem heard that God was moving in Samaria, you know what they done? The Bible said in verse 14 that the apostles that were in Jerusalem heard Samaria received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. Notice that. Who when they were to come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now listen, I want you to get this. You've got to hear this. Here God's moving in Samaria. God's pouring out. People are getting saved. I mean, witches are getting coming out of the sorcery. It was a move of God. And the Bible said they heard it at Jerusalem. And they sent Peter and John there for one purpose, to get them full with the Holy Ghost. The first missionary dollars that was ever spent in the New Testament was spent to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how important God in the early church thought the Holy Ghost was.
That's right, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I want you to write these things down. I know I've been preaching a while. Let me ask you this question. Some of us would say, okay, preacher, now I believe that tongues is the initial evidence. Now, that won't be the only evidence you have, but it is the initial evidence. You'll love your brother more. You'll love your enemies. Oh, yes. You'll love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you.
Yeah.
When you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now, people ask this question, Brother Nathan. What good does speaking in tongues do? Does it do any good to speak in tongues? And yes, it does. Number one, it ushers us into the presence of God. Because there's no way you can be filled with the Holy Ghost if Jesus is not present, because He is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
When you begin to speak in tongues, Jesus is present. It ushers us into the presence of God. Number two, speaking in tongues, it is a refreshing. Only those who speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance understand what that means. It's like a spiritual recharging of one's batteries. Jude tells us to build up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues helps us to pray. Romans 8:26 says, when we know not what we are to pray as though we ought, the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which only He can utter. You see, the Holy Ghost moves on our heart and says things to the Heavenly Father that we don't know how to say the way that we ought to say them in. So the Holy Spirit prays through us. Number four, speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever, according to 1 Corinthians 4:22. According to 1 Corinthians 14 and 4, speaking in tongues edifies the believer. The Bible said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Number six, speaking in tongues is a divine communication between you and God. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit he speaketh mysteries. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking a mystery unto God. That word mystery there means hidden things. It means not obvious things. It means the secret will of God. It means religious secrets. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I don't understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues and you pray in the Holy Ghost, but you're speaking to God. And that's why the devil comes against that gift more than any other gift, because he knows that speaking in tongues is a line between us and God, and hell can't do nothing about it. You ever heard of police scanner? They give this code 243. 444, I don't understand them codes at all. They do. See, when I'm talking to God and I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking codes to God. And that devil can't understand it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Number seven, speaking in tongues eliminates selfishness in our praying.
Yes.
I'm very persuaded that oftentimes we We spend way too much time praying for things we don't need. Praying in the Holy Ghost will eliminate all selfishness. And number 8, I like this one. And you're going to have to remember this because you probably never heard this before. It brings deliverance. Go with me real quick. This is my last thing. Last scripture. Numbers 22. Numbers 22. You can write it down and look at it later. But I want you to see this. Numbers 22, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, went toward the princes of Moab. God's anger was kindled against him. The angel of the Lord stood in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass. 2 servants were with him. The ass saw the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam began to smote the ass to turn her the other way. The angel stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on one side and a wall on the other. And the donkey or the ass saw the angel of the Lord thrust Balaam against the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. He began to beat her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn hither or thither. And when the ass saw the angel, she fell down under Balaam. Balaam's anger was kindled against her, and he began to beat the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she began to speak to Balaam and said, "What have I done unto thee? For thou hast beaten me these 3 times." And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would have taken a sword and cut and killed thee. If I would have had the sword, I would have killed thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine? Have I not always been good to thee and done what you have told me?" Then the Bible said the eyes of Balaam was open. He saw the angel. Now I want you to get this picture. Speaking in tongues delivers us. Now notice this. Here we have a donkey being whipped. We have a donkey being abused by Balaam. How did the donkey get Balaam to quit beating him? The Bible said he began to speak in tongues. Now Balaam's donkey has never spoke nothing but donkey language all of his life. Now he's talking Hebrew. That is an unknown tongue for that donkey. Wouldn't you agree? I can tell you why Balaam stopped beating the donkey. It's because he started talking in tongues. Hallelujah. He never spoke that language before. And I'm going to tell you, honey, when I get talking in tongues, I've never spoke that language before. It's an unknown tongue. And honey, it brings deliverance unto my life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Somebody ought to praise God. If you want the abuse to stop in your life, you want the devil to stop beating you up, start talking in an unknown tongue. Yeah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Hope you got that.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Father, I know tonight this is what you wanted. I know tonight, God, this is what